Take your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 27, and we're going to read verses 1 through 10 in Proverbs 27 tonight. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, I'll read and you go ahead and follow along tonight. And Proverbs chapter 27, beginning in verse 1, reading down through verse 10, I'll read, you follow along. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. A stone is heavy, and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend, and thy father's friend, forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. Well, the characteristic for tonight is simply that of being friendly. Being friendly. You know Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So this thing of being friendly, or as the dictionary describes it, having the temper and disposition of a friend. Now, please understand, we know that friendship with the world is enmity against God. Okay? So I'm not telling you to go buddy up with a bunch of lost people, all right? And I'm not telling you that you need to, invite them over to the house on weekends and have pool parties and all that kind of stuff. All right, that's not what we're saying here. We're talking about not so much the friends you have, but rather the idea and characteristic of being friendly, the disposition and temper of a friend. So when you think of the disposition of a friend or the temper of a friend, right? One person to another, someone that you would call your friend, right? Some of the things that might come to mind are maybe kindness, maybe forgiveness, maybe favor, right? Perhaps promoting the good of another, maybe loyalty, if that comes to mind, right? Sacrifice, being there for someone, right, in their time of need. Coming to their rescue, coming to their aid. All of these things would be considered perhaps the disposition of being a friend or the temper of being a friend. These things are the things that Christians should wear as a badge of honor for our Lord, who was a friend to those in the world that needed salvation. You know, we need to take these opportunities in our lives that we have to show ourselves friendly. You understand that God wants us to be friendly. When Jesus came, for the most part, during his earthly time, his earthly ministry here, how was he toward those that he came in contact with? Friendly. Okay? Unless they were of the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes and all those people, right? But think about this. Even to them, there's a man named Nicodemus who was a ruler of the Jews. And he came to Jesus with the right attitude. And Jesus dealt with him very kindly. He was very friendly to him. It was to the points that they were arguing and trying to trick him that he called them a generation of vipers and whited sepulchers, etc., etc., etc. You understand that there is something about having the disposition of a friend, being kind, being favorable, being disposed to promote the good of another. This is what we ought to be to others. And here's why. First of all, being friendly is an opportunity to show the love of Christ to others. Being friendly is an opportunity to show the love of Christ to others. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, I'm not going to say much about the second part of that verse. Some of us have brothers that were born for adversity. Amen. But it says here, a friend loveth at all times. So if we're going to talk about the disposition of a friend, the temper of a friend, that's someone who loves at all times. Doesn't the Bible say something about loving our enemies? Loving them that despitefully use us and persecute us, heaping coals of kindness on them, upon them. So to what end? So that they'll be saved. So that they'll know Christ and we can show the love of Christ to them as being friendly as a Christian. In John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35, Jesus said, it says here in the Bible, therefore when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while, and I am with you. Ye shall seek me, as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So being friendly and having that spirit and disposition of a friend, kind, favorable, disposed to promote the good of another, all of these things are so that men will know that ye are my disciples. If we employ this thing of being friendly in our lives, they'll think something's different. Something's up with these people. What is wrong with them? Oh, nothing. Nothing's wrong with them. They're Christians. They're following the teachings of Christ. And Christ said that we're supposed to love. And so that other people can see that we are his disciples. Over in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. You know, one of the things that has broken my heart in the past is when I go knock on a door, I begin to talk to somebody about Christ or about the church, and they say, well, I don't go to church. We'll say, well, did you used to go to church? Yeah, I used to go to church. But that pastor or those people, hey, folks, listen, it's not supposed to be that way. That's a bad example. And listen, we have an opportunity. By being friendly, it's an opportunity to show the love of Christ. He said, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And listen, I know that we love ourselves quite a lot. Yeah, this is kind of a natural tendency of human beings. We ought to love our neighbors. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, if you would. Ephesians chapter 6. Here's an example of what this means to the believer to be friendly in their dealings with others. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 21. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Here we had Paul. We had someone named Tychicus and these people in Ephesus that were all of one accord as Christians and fellow believers. And he was going to comfort their hearts and he was going to let them know how things were going in the ministry and in the work that was out there to be done. And this was done in love with faith. And this is given to all who love the Lord Jesus in sincerity. You see, we need to make sure that we live this characteristic out in our daily life so that everyone knows who and what we are. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, it says, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Do these things, these characteristics that are listed here, being pitiful, courteous, love, having compassion, not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing, all these things, does that sound like someone who's unfriendly? Or does it sound like someone who is friendly? It does. And those are the things that we are to be. Why? So that we can show the love of Christ to others. This is who and what Jesus was and is. This is who and what we should be in our lives. In 1 John chapter 3, it says, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You understand that he says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. That's natural for them. It should not be natural for us who are born again. Because we are a new creature. Old things have passed away. That unfriendly nature should be passed away from us. And we should be living a friendly existence. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 it says, but as touching brotherly love, listen to this, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Example after example after example after example after example after example in the Bible shows that God's people are to be friendly people. They're to be loving people. They're to be forgiving people. I mean, didn't Jesus tell us, hey, look, If a guy asks for your cloak, give him your coat also. If he asks for you to go for 1 mile, go with him twain, right? Go with him 2 miles. If he comes and smites you in the cheek, turn the other cheek. You understand that these things are part of our daily existence. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. They're not going to be friendly out there. So if we are unfriendly in our dealings with especially lost people, and then certainly the brethren, how is the world going to view us? Any different? No, not any different. We're it's going to be the same. And then how are they going to see the love of Christ in us if it's going to be the same? They're not going to. And they need to see it. Turn to John chapter 11. We've gone through this passage of scripture before. John chapter 11, beginning in verse 33. John chapter 11 and verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, say not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, that thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because, listen to this, of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews, which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Why did all this take place? So that people would believe. Why does being friendly need to take place in our lives so that people will believe? You understand that it's an opportunity, being friendly, showing a disposition of a friend, having the temper of a friend, being kind and favorable, disposed to promote the good of another. This is done to show the love of Christ to others. Go back to Proverbs chapter 27. You see, why do we read this passage in the first place? If you look at verse 4, it says, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. Do those sound unfriendly to you? Yes, they do. But who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. If you look at verse 10, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. You see, these give us opportunities in our lives to understand what friendship is. We need to understand that being friendly, rather, is something that we can do to show the love of Christ. But secondly, it's something that we can do to have an opportunity to influence others for Christ. To influence them. Not just to show them and show them the difference in our lives as being friendly, but rather to influence them for the cause of Christ. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. It says that he that hath friends must show himself friendly. We also learn that a friend loveth at all times. All of these things. But in Proverbs 27, 17, it says, iron sharpeneth iron. So doth the man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. That's an opportunity to influence others for Christ. We can influence someone. Iron sharpeneth iron. We have a believer and we have a believer. They're both supposed to be iron, right? Iron sharpeneth iron, so doth the man sharpen the countenance of his friends. You see, we've got to make sure that we're doing our part to influence people for Christ by being friendly. How well are you going to be able to influence someone if you are coarse, if you are unkind, if you are selfish and promoting yourself rather than promoting others, and you're just altogether not a nice person? How's that going to go as far as influencing people for Christ? You say, well, I'd just like to keep to myself. Well, that's a little different. Okay? I'm okay with quiet or shy or whatever you might call yourself. There's nothing wrong with that, but you can still be friendly. You can still smile. You can still do what you can to influence others for Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Hey, how many of you have tried to get somebody to come to church, and you did it saying, well, yeah, we just, you know, we don't really let anybody come to church. You know, you got to dress right, you got to look right, you got to talk right, and boy, you can't have any other thoughts or ideas. That doesn't sound very friendly. That doesn't sound like a place that I want to go. Why would you want to go there? No, he says, did you notice that in this passage, before he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, he says, let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, saying, hey, listen, you need to come to church. It's a great place to be. And there's going to be people there that believe in Jesus Christ, and they're going to sing, and they're going to worship God, and it's a friendly place. It's a friendly place. Church should be a friendly place. Why? To influence others for the cause of Christ. Both saved and lost. In James chapter 2, verse 23, it says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, what in the world could have happened in Abraham's life that made him the only person in the Bible to be called the friend of God? That's pretty amazing. Yeah. You know what? Abraham was friendly. He was friendly. He had a disposition of kind and favorable disposition, promoting the good of another. Listen, remember when God came down, the three angels or whatever, the beings, whatever angels, whatever they were, when they were viewing Sodom and Gomorrah and all that stuff and what was going on, and they came by, he was hospitable to them, right? He built them got a fire going and got the food ready and all that stuff and all those things. Very kind, very honoring, very favorable. Hey, when Lot was in trouble, what did Abraham do? Oh, Lot, you deserve that. You took the good ground. You deserve to get taken away and captive and all that stuff. No, he didn't do that. He went after him. You see, all these things. And then as he was the leader of the children of Israel, oh boy, aren't you glad that Abraham and God never got on the same page together at the same time? You say, what do you mean? Well,
One time, Abraham would be mad at God, or mad at the children of Israel, and he'd tell God, kill them. And God said, no, Abraham, we can't do that. And then God would get mad at the children of Israel, and they said, Abraham, I'm going to kill them. No, God, you can't do that. Aren't you glad they never got on the same page at the same time? Because there wouldn't be any people left. You know, we need to learn to be friendly so that we can influence others for Jesus Christ. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, you know about the influence that Jonathan and David had on each other and the friendship that they had. And I want you to just listen to what happened here in 1 Samuel chapter 18. It says, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him no more go home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. So you understand that this is a big deal, because you have here a king's son and a shepherd boy, the son of a shepherd. So this is a big difference. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, listen to this, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he's accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. You know, I believe that through this time, David had a great influence on Jonathan. You see that he behaved himself wisely, and he, of course, we understand he gained favor in the sight of all the people. This is what we have the opportunity to do if we will show ourselves friendly. In this world, we can influence people for Christ. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it says, two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We have all kinds of examples of how being friendly is influential to others. Now, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 18. As you turn there, I'm going to read to you Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. If there be any, therefore, any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but with lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Are you there in Acts chapter 18? Look at verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews in that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. What did Aquila and Priscilla do to this young man? They befriended him. They showed themselves friendly. And did it make a difference? Did it influence him for the cause of Christ? Yes, it did. You know, at the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 were saved, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. This was an amazing time in the church. What were they doing? Being friendly. Being friendly. Did it have an effect on the church there? Yes, it did. Because the Bible says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. In Acts chapter 11, we know that Barnabas came to Antioch. And it says that he was there they were glad when he came. And he exhorted them all with the purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Listen to this. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. You think that being friendly, Barnabas going out to seek Saul for the work of the ministry, had an influence for the cause of Christ? Oh, yes, my friend, it did. Yes, it did, over and over again. So far we've learned that being friendly is an opportunity to show others the love of Christ. It's an opportunity to promote it's an opportunity to influence others for Christ. And then thirdly, it's an opportunity to promote Jesus Christ in the world around us. Did not the Bible tell us that we're supposed to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and unto the uttermost part of the earth? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How in the world are you going to do that being unfriendly? You're not. You're not going to get very far. It's an opportunity to promote Jesus Christ to the world. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are of the brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. So if someone who is a worker and is a bad testimony to his lost boss, what good is that? And what good is someone in a community who is unfriendly and calls himself a believer? Why is that any different? It's not any different. Are we not supposed to be an example so that God and his doctrine be not blasphemed? When someone finds out that you're a Christian and you've been unfriendly, you've been rude, you've not been kind, you've not been forgiving, etc., 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 what are they going to do? God. I don't need God. That's what a child of God is like, then I don't want to be one. Isn't it true? Yeah, it's true. So we've got to understand that being friendly is an opportunity to promote Jesus Christ to the world. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're almost done. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I love what Paul said to the Corinthians here. Beginning in verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance, and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, Yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ that be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What does an ambassador do? They promote their country. You know that we're not of this country? We're foreigners. We have another country. It's called heaven. This is what we're supposed to do. Promote heaven. How are we going to do that? By showing ourselves friendly. By using this thing of being friendly in our lives. Just to very quickly surmise a story. Remember Jesus when he came through Jericho? And there was a little man. We know he's little because the Bible says he was. He was little of stature. Climbed up in an old sycamore tree. Remember this Sunday school story, everybody? Yeah. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. And we understand that Jesus was going through Jericho, and this man was a tax collector. He was a tax collector. I added a few extra syllables there. Now, this was not someone Jesus should be friendly with. This is not someone that the people liked. They were quite despised, actually. And hated, actually. And there were all these other people around that Jesus could have been friendly to, and I'm sure he was. But he comes up to that sycamore tree, and he looks up there, and he says, "Hey, Zacchaeus." And Zacchaeus is like, "Well, he knows my name? What in the world?" He said, "Hey, I must abide at thy house." Wow. Wow. And he went down and he received him, and all these things happened. And you know what? It made a difference in Zacchaeus' life. Because Jesus Christ was friendly to him. You understand that we're supposed to be working together to promote the kingdom of God to all the world. You know, we're supposed to be enlarged. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I don't have time to read it. You can go back and read it on your own. But basically, Paul says, we've done all these things to be an example unto you. And in the ending verses there of verses 12 and 13, he says, "O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You're not straitened in us, but straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged." Listen, you know, God has shown himself friendly. When God says he so loved the world that he gave, can't we do the same? We as Christians, we need to show ourselves friendly because it's an important part of our lives. It's an opportunity to show the love of Christ, to influence others for Christ, and to promote Jesus Christ to the world. Being friendly.